Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome everyone to the show, and wow, I don't know if you can feel those vibrations. This entire building is shaking out at CITR 101.9 FM, and it's wild. I don't know if people are getting excited about coming back to school, new beginnings, or what, but literally there's definitely a dance going on in the other room, and it is rocking the entire building. But I'm rocking for other different reasons, of course, because I love summer, I love fall, I kind of love life in general, and I think it's really important to have really cool people in our lives, and I'm very excited to have a very special person on the show tonight. She's someone I met at Kate from Conscious Diva's event called Living Extraordinary. She was one of the wonderful speakers, so if you were there at that event, you might have heard her speak before. If not, and you're on my Facebook, you can check it out on, because I have it up on my status right now about her talk. But she's a really cool cat, and her name is Tina Moore. So I'm very excited to have her on the show. She's been doing some really amazing things. One of them is an event called Jog for Joy, which is coming up very, very soon, and it's in support of the Kilpatrick Dennehy Foundation. And she's got a wonderful title sponsor as well from Wells Fargo. And I'm very excited to have Ms. Tina on the show. She's an incredible woman, and we finally actually had the chance to chat today, and I'm very excited to have her on tonight. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome. So I met you at Living Extraordinary, and you're a woman who's done some pretty extraordinary things in your life.
Wow. Thanks.
You're welcome. And like your 40 by 40 project, like, and I think I'd love to just, if you felt comfortable, just sharing a little bit about that, first and foremost, just to kind of give the backstory in regards to Jog for Joy and just how the culmination of it, like how it all started, because I think it's a really cool thing, because jogging in general, running, Vancouver's a pretty fit city in general, but there's a lot of people, and I'm one, like I was telling you this morning, where it was really, really hard for me to trade in my heels for a pair of sneakers so I could learn how to run for the sun run. And you've done some pretty cool things, so I applaud your efforts. You're pretty amazing. And not only that, you've done it and realized that it makes a huge difference for people, especially with mental health.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
It's echoing a little bit, actually.
Yeah, okay. I might switch to my cell after. I started running when I was 39, and I literally did no exercise prior to that. I had gym passes like everybody else. I never used them, ever.
You're one of those people that they... hope that buy the gym passes sometimes, I think, so then that way they're able to sell them. They've got the regular monthly things, but not actually using it. So you went from not using your gym pass to running.
I did, yeah. I don't know. I turned 39, and I was walking my dog, and I had an entire life, I can honestly say that, where... I've either had anxiety or I had, you know, depression, and sometimes it was a somewhat manageable depression, but I was depressed nonetheless. And other times it was, you know, I really could not get out of bed crying all day and all night and all day the next day, you know, for weeks and months on end, and it really, really, really being dark. So I really know that well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I turned 39, I was walking my dog, and she was so happy, and I thought, you know, I want to be like her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was just in the moment and just happy to be alive, and I didn't feel that. So I gave myself a year to change my life, and for some reason, it popped in my head that running 40 kilometers... Mm-hmm. would do that for me. I have no idea where that idea came from, because I'd never ran before, but I thought, I'm going to do something different on my 40th birthday, and so I decided that I was going to run 40 kilometers on my 40th birthday. So I trained by myself. I actually didn't have a running group, and I kind of, you know, just moved to Vancouver a year or so before, and I hadn't really met a lot of people yet. And so I did everything sort of on my own. And, you know, a year later, I ran the 40 kilometers, and, it, you know, that whole year was, it was self-reflection. It was having a physical outlet for, you know, the emotions that I was feeling and the processing of pain that I was dealing with and all of that. I was able to physically release it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was a huge shift for me. And I realized, because every time I jogged, I really didn't want to do it. It was a struggle. I literally would be sitting on my living room floor in my jogging gear for hours. Just, I couldn't get off the floor. And I just couldn't get outside. It was just, it's weird. And then I just realized, I documented it, and I just started to realize that every time I did it, I felt better afterwards. Like I was a completely different person. And once I made that connection of how strong exercise was and how much better I felt, then it made sense, and it was easier to get out the door.
And it makes sense. They've done a lot of studies in regards to productivity for different companies where they actually encourage people to work out because it makes people feel better about themselves. They connect better. They're more parts of the community. So there's a lot of studies that support that. So I totally believe that. And I know on a personal level, I love to dance. So I can't imagine where I'd be if I didn't have that outlet.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, I mean, I know the studies are out there and the information is out there, but there still seems to be that disconnect. Like I you know, I was somewhat aware of that information. I'd been told of that information, but I had never made the connection myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's the important factor that needs to happen is, and if it's not jogging, then find something
mm-hmm.
that resonates with you, that, you know, rowing or boxing or cycling or hiking or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dancing, right?
Yeah, for me, definitely. But I have tried jogging as well, and I give you kudos for being able to do that by yourself. I was lucky enough, I had a dear friend who self-appointed herself as my coach. So she picked me up at 6 a.m. every morning, and we jogged, even in the snow, which that January, there was actually snow in Vancouver, so it was quite an interesting year. And I'm really, really glad I did it. I actually enjoy jogging once in a while now, but it's not my passion the way it is with you. And I think it's wonderful, though, that you were able to do it on your own. And just in terms of just how it's changed you, and you're bringing that back to other people and encouraging other people to do and take part in something. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the event itself, Jog for Joy, is, you know, it's a walk run, and it's, you know, the spirit of it is to raise awareness, but in a joyful way. So raising awareness for a serious issue, but in a joyful way. And that's really the spirit of it. And each year we have a theme, and this year the theme is believe. So believe in yourself, believe in your dreams, believe in your goals, you know, believe you're worth the fight, believe in a new day. It's a very powerful message, I think.
No, very much so. And when you say awareness, it's awareness for mental health, right? Mental health?
Mental and emotional wellness.
Okay. Mental and emotional wellness.
Mm-hmm. And we've partnered with the Kelty Patrick Dennehy Foundation. And their story is incredible. They focus on depression and depression-related illnesses with youth in particular, and then supporting families, because when it's in your family, you know, if someone is suffering or struggling, it affects the entire family, not just that person, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in when you sent out your blog, just in regards to the information, you mentioned that was a pretty heartwarming story as well in regards to why you chose the Kelty Foundation specifically, that it really touched you.
It did, yeah. I last year, just before graduation, I had, you know, just before all the high school graduations, I had a younger member of my family attempt suicide. And, you know, it shakes your family. I mean, we were very lucky, but, you know, there's still a struggle, right? And, you know, I learned a lot with that experience, and it rips you open.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience I don't want anybody else to have to go through. And I do understand the thoughts,
mm-hmm.
suicidal thoughts. I do understand those very, very much. I often think that it's the pain that horrible, all-encompassing pain that people want to be free from. It's not necessarily that they want to end their life, but that's the only way they can see of how to rid that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do understand that. And so when I found the Kelty Patrick Dennehy Foundation, their son did commit suicide when he was 17, and so they started the foundation in his honor. And then in 2009, they also lost their daughter to different circumstances, but so the family's been, you know, just...
They've gone through a lot, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to articulate it, but their courage to continue on and to help others is just really inspiring and motivating, and I just want to help them. I want to do what I can because I mm-hmm. believe in it so much.
No, and I think it's wonderful. And mental health can affect the entire family in so many different ways. Whether it's relational, whether it's your friends, etc. It's just in terms of it affects everybody around us. And I think that's why sometimes we don't always share when we don't feel good. Taking meds, perhaps when we need it for depression. Getting diagnosed to find out what type of mental health, because there's so many different types out there, whether it's in regards to body image, whether it's something like bulimia, anorexia, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia. There's so many different types. I think sometimes because there's so much, it's overwhelming because it's like, where do I fit in as a human being when somebody's trying to figure it out? And it can be a little bit scary.
Yeah, I agree. It can be scary, but I still think that it has to be a priority because it affects all other aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your work. It affects your relationships. Like you say, with family, with friends, with work. You know, whether you socialize or you isolate. You know, whether you're able to function, or, I mean, in 2020, I think it's going to be the second leading cause of disability globally. And I think it'll be the number one cause by 2030. So it's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
Their expectations are it's going to get worse. So, you know, we need to address it and to talk about it and to not be afraid of it you know, to find safe places to go and to share and get help.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? No, very much so, and I think it's really great. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting more about everything and chatting to Tina Moore. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
This year on This Fringy Life, life at the Vancouver International Fringe Festival is...
spacey.
Lonely. Sexy.
Untruthful.
Mind-bending.
And over the edge.
Each week, on August 22nd, August 29th, and September 5th, we choose two themes and bring you stories on those themes. Tune in on Wednesdays at 6:30 after the Arts Report for This Fringy Life, brought to you by The Arts Report and distributed by CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Download the podcast at www.citr.ca.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
CITR and Beatroot present Skills for Performing Artists Through Community Engagement, or Space Camp, a free weekend of workshops and panels led by local experts in a variety of indie music-related fields. Featuring keynote speaker Ian McKay and a Saturday night rock show with Calvin Johnson, The Evaporators, New Sensei, and The Bank Dogs. Space Camp runs September 8th and 9th at Chapel Arts, 304 Dunleavy Avenue, and is open to all ages. Admission is by donation, but please register in advance at safeampspacecamp.tumblr.com.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
CITR and Beatroot present Skills for Performing Artists Through Community Engagement, or Space Camp, a free weekend of workshops and panels led by local experts in a variety of indie music-related fields. Featuring keynote speaker Ian McKay and a Saturday night rock show with Calvin Johnson, The Evaporators, New Sensei, and The Bank Dogs. Space Camp runs September 8th and 9th at Chapel Arts, 304 Dunleavy Avenue, and is open to all ages. Admission is by donation, but please register in advance at safeampspacecamp.tumblr.com.
And we're back. It's Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking to the lovely Ms. Tina Moore, who is doing some pretty exciting stuff these days. And I'm lucky enough to have had her on the show. It's pretty cool. She's got an event coming up in October called Jog for Joy. And it's been pretty cool just to bring awareness to the wonderful work that the Kelty Patrick Dennehy Foundation is doing, and in particular, just embracing basically emotional and mental wellness, which I think is a pretty cool thing, and really timely as well, just with our world, where sometimes it's interesting because sometimes I chat with you on Facebook a lot, and it's a really interesting thing because I was actually reading a couple articles the other day in regards to just how when people have negative things on Facebook, it actually affects the well-being of their friends. So it was quite interesting because you always have really wonderful things to share on Facebook, and I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually get people saying that they wake up and they're looking forward to whatever I post. So and I mean I'm not lying when I post stuff. I really do authentically wake up that way.
But I think it's a really important thing too, just about the actions of what we do affects everybody around us. And it was interesting because there was a book actually I picked up at the library, which I ended up not taking out. I tend to read anywhere from 10 to 12 books a week, so it was one of those ones where I was like, okay, Caroline, control yourself. I'm slightly a readaholic, but with that, I chose not to. But it was pretty fascinating, just in regards to how what we do, and especially now that we've got so many different ways of affecting people, whether it be through social media, whether it be Google Plus, Facebook, or Twitter, or LinkedIn, just regular email. All of that, as well as just connecting with people when we sit beside them on the bus, whether or not we are having coffee with friends, going to a networking event and having a glass of wine, whatever it is, but we're connecting with people all the time. So when somebody asks, how are you? And being cognizant of about it as well, where if you are finding that you are really down sometimes, and I was going to touch in with you, Tina, what your thoughts were on this, but just in regards to just checking in with yourself and being aware of how many times you complain about something, or, you know, and if you really are feeling down, trying to see what resources there are out there as opposed to just sitting around complaining.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one, because I think sometimes when you're in it, you don't
see it,
you don't realize it. You don't even realize how you're portraying yourself, you don't realize that you're looking at things sort of with a flat gray tone to it, right? Or with a negative bent to it. And I think that's where the self-awareness really has to come in, where, you know, you almost look outside of yourself, you know?
That brings
that's where I found, sorry, but that's where I found journaling to be really helpful.
And journaling is such a wonderful tool just for just connecting with yourself. Dr. Harville Hendricks, who does a lot of wonderful work, like how to get the love you want and receiving love, he's got some really neat things. If I remember correctly, there's actually a couple's journaled in there where they actually encourage journaling with your partner.
Oh, cool.
For another tool of communication.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I know Smart Cookies has a chunk in there as well in regards to financial planning, where you, for the couple's part, were, if possible, doing a vision board together.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just...
Yeah,
think
I mean, communication, right? It's interesting that we have all this technology for communication, and yet... We almost seem disconnected.
And what do you think we might be able to do to connect more with people so we become more conscious, more compassionate? And I think it was one of the things you said today, where it's that about the taking care of our neighbors, where we need to remember to take care of ourselves as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I talk a lot about that, about self-care isn't selfish. And you know, to find whichever way works for you, and it's going to be different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was able to tap into my instinct through jogging, and I was able to actually hear it and pay attention to it and honor it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd heard it before, but I didn't believe it, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. And you know, once I made that decision to change my life, I just started to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that connection to yourself makes, you know, from experience, I'll say, makes me far more open to giving for others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the biggest way that, since you started the jogging and the 40 by 40 project, that how has it changed you, like in the biggest ways? Because I know it's changed in so many ways, but what would you say are probably the top three most impactful ways that it's changed you, where it feels really good?
I would say self-esteem, for sure, because I used to... believe I was hideous, ugly, and that I didn't deserve love, or, you know, I just, my value as a person, my self-worth, was at zero. Like, it just really was nothing. And so definitely it has given me that. And I didn't expect that from jogging. I just thought I was going to physically get stronger. I really did not know it would make me mentally and emotionally stronger, and thus, and having the goals and all of that. And then that would help build self-esteem. I had no idea. So that was, you know, a bonus. I think it helped me become aware of victim thinking. I've had a lot of trauma in my life, and I have a lot of compassion for my younger self and that trauma that I've been through. But the victim thinking doesn't serve me now. It keeps me chained. And so when I made that connection, and I, again, I got that through jogging and through journaling and sort of just figuring it out, that was enormously helpful. And it's so interesting how sneaky it can come in, even now, right? I just, you know, if I'm stressed or if I'm tired or, you know, it'll sneak in, and it's just, I have to be very conscious of it. So I think that's a big one. And I think, you know, just really believing my instinct. I mean, I was able to jump off a bridge twice bungee jumping, and I'm terrified of heights, but I was able to do it because I believed my instinct. I didn't believe my fear. So I was able to, you know, distinguish between the two.
That's pretty impressive, going from being absolutely terrified and doing it anyway. Quite for literally.
Yeah.
And figuratively.
Yeah, it was pretty, I mean, for me, it was extremely scary. And my anxiety was at a 10. Like, I was so scared. But I have to honestly say it was an amazing experience both times, and absolutely exhilarating and, yeah, life-changing.
Wow. One of the things you touched on was victim thinking, and sometimes that people fall into that. Would you be able to elaborate a little bit about more about just what victim thinking is in your words?
Yeah, for me, I guess it's, that's a great question. It's so familiar to me. You know, just, I guess it's a negative thinking, and it's, oh, well, if, you know, of course they did that because, you know, because I don't deserve it, or just instantly you know what, I'll have to think about that, because it's just it's a juvenile way of thinking. It's almost like, you know, trauma stunts you in a way, and you can get locked into that age. And so it's a very immature way of thinking. And again, I say that with the absolute most compassion and empathy for myself and for other victims. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that as an adult, it doesn't serve you. It keeps you stuck. And you have to find the way to empower yourself. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think sometimes that can be really hard when it's what you know and it's what's gotten you through for a long time. And I think sometimes those changes, they're gradual, and it takes time to evolve that. Especially as you said, it's like when we feel uncomfortable, we go to what's familiar, which I think is why when people deal, for example, and I'm going to use the parallel of addiction, why we go to what feels comfortable, because at one point in our lives it felt like that behavior worked for us.
Yeah, either works for us or it's just what we know, and we know it on a cellular level, you know, an energy level. And you know, for me, for example, the relationships, you know, the two main relationships that I had in my life, they were both extremely toxic, you know, emotionally abusive, you know, just not, they were very poisonous, terrible, terrible relationships for me to be in. They were very damaging to me on a lot of different levels. At one point, like with my marriage, you know, I was completely devastated. I was financially bankrupt. I was emotionally bankrupt. I was sexually completely annihilated and confused and you know, flatlining on that level. And, you know, and I was barely 100 pounds. So physically I was completely, you know, just a shell, just this tiny little shell that had completely given up, you know, on life and was completely annihilated from those relationships, from that relationship. And the one after that, not quite as severe, but still, you know, equally damaging. And the connection with those is that behavior from men was familiar to me. Mm. I, you know, shame was familiar to me. Guilt was familiar to me. Lying was familiar to me. So that's what I brought into my life, because that, as, you know, as screwed up as it may sound, that was, like you say, what was what I knew, and that's what I was comfortable with. Even though I was very uncomfortable with it and my instinct was screaming, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, what are you doing? I just didn't have the emotional strength to change the pattern.
And I love the fact that through jogging, it made a huge impact in your life, where you thought it was going to hit on a physical level, but the emotional changes. And it reminds me of, there's a personal trainer in out of the States who was able to heal from sexual abuse from her stepfather by going to the, she got a job at a gym picking up towels. One of the trainers encouraged her to start working out, so she started working out on machines. Then he mentored her and she became a group fitness instructor and then eventually a personal trainer. And she found, by feeling physically strong enough to fight back, she was able to dwell more intensely into the healing process and get the support she needed to make the cognitive changes she needed to move forward in her life. So it was a really cool. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so empowering. Mm-hmm. I mean, she took her power back.
Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really key. One of the things you mentioned earlier was explore, play, figure out what you need to do to get your power back. So whether or not it's expressing yourself through your body, and whether it's through a physical fitness, which I encourage most people to do, check with your doctor first, of course, and from there, challenge yourself, see what works, connect, find out what's out there. And even if you're not comfortable leaving the house, etc., you can find things out online, check out different classes, different workouts. There's so much stuff on YouTube, etc. Or do what Tina did, which I love, which is put your sneakers on, put the heels away, and start to run. Find what works for you and do things like connect. Tina also mentioned the journaling, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah, that was a really important tool for me.
Mm.
And I chose jogging because it was cheap. So I didn't have any of the gear, none of it. I got some shoes eventually, but really I jogged in old boyfriend shirts and whatever slouchy pants I had. I was a jogging mess, but, you know, I still got out there, right? That was the point.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that's really key. You just did it, and I won't say which fitness company uses it, but I think everybody who is out there listening to this probably gets that. So, in terms of, for, paint me a picture of what you imagine on the, when we come in October for Jog for Joy, paint me a picture of the event. Like, what would it look like?
I mean, The name itself, right, has, you know, the most important factor, and that's joy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a joyful event around a serious issue. So, you know, it's basically community coming together. I really encourage people to create teams, you know, especially if you know someone. How amazing is it if you get a group of friends together because, you know, one of your friends really suffers?
And so to support that person, you come and you create a team and you register your team and you come down and you do it in that person's honor, and you can walk it, you can jog it, you can run it, right? So, and it's right in Stanley Park and it's beautiful and the atmosphere is just fun. I don't want to give too much away. The theme is Believe. So there's definitely that influence within the run. And, of course, you get a medal, which for me is very significant, because I think I know for me, I started at running 1 minute, walking for 4 minutes, for a total of 15 minutes only, and I went home and I went to bed. I was exhausted. I mean, I was starting from scratch. So, to complete 5K for me, running was really a big deal. And so, when you cross the finish line, you get an awesome medal, and it has Believe on it. So you can look at that for the rest of the year and go, okay, that's what I did. That's what I accomplished, and you can look at that and believe in yourself and believe that you're capable of doing, your next goal. Mm-hmm. Right. And each goal is one step at a time, which is why jogging is such a great analogy. Right.
Mm-hmm. It really, really, really is. And every time you cross a kilometer, you can really feel it. It's like taking those steps forward in life.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're at all like how I was, a kilometer seemed like forever. When I'm driving and I look at an exit and it's like 800 meters or whatever ahead, and I'd be driving going, oh my God, like there's no way I can run that. I couldn't run down the block. I was that out of shape. So that's why it's a walk run. The point is just to come down and be in fresh air, be surrounded by like-minded people, have some fun, it's a joyful event, and be surrounded by that positive, encouraging, supportive, love-based energy.
In regards to embracing and believing and connecting, in this day and age, what are some key things that people can be doing for themselves and within their relationships and their friendships to just keep each other connected? Because as you're mentioning, we're almost in an era where there's so many different ways to communicate, and sometimes we just don't.
Yeah, there's a few things, I think, for connection. And in regards to relationships, I think conversation is vital.
Mm-hmm.
And real conversations, like sitting down and looking into someone's eyes conversation. I think that's extremely important. Touch is extremely important. I think that's another way to communicate with someone. And I think that's really important in relationships. And, I think... if you're talking about, well, actually, it's any relationship, really. It has to be a priority. It requires time. It requires investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not only investment in yourself, right? And that's as important, right? Take care of me, you take care of you, and together we'll take care of us, right? I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. And that's key too, just the me plus you equals us, and living in the us where it's that space in between the you and me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really, really key. So what's next for you? You've got a busy time coming up with October, Jog for Joy. What else is up for you for this in the next 6 months or so?
Well,
that was
that's
a very
definitely
heavily.
Taking all my time right now, 100%. But once that is completed, and we start looking to the next year, of course. But I want a date.
That sounds like there's, I can definitely always give you advice on that one. Maybe not on air, but because again, I am not a dating coach, but, and there's some really wonderful ones in the city that I've had on the show, but.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, give me their number. That'd be good.
Well, Kim Anami is a great one and a dear friend, so.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I've had interesting conversations with people lately that say that Vancouver, it's really, really difficult to meet people. And I'm really busy right now, so I'm not really noticing it because I'm meeting people in a different way. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that's true or not.
It will be. It's interesting. There was an interesting article in Vancouver Magazine several months ago about the, where are all the men in Vancouver to date, which I thought was a quite an interesting piece. And Vancouver Foundation actually just did another study where they found that a lot of Vancouverites feel isolated. And that's in general, not just in the dating sphere. But of course, if people are feeling that way in general, it's going to affect. And I think it comes down to like what one of the points you mentioned earlier is how do we deal with the sheer volume of different communication tools, because sometimes we don't know what to say. And I know even if I'm at a networking thing, sometimes I talk to other small business owners, et cetera, as to how to connect, you know, and how to use the software. And a lot of times it comes right down to what the heck do I say? And not having those words. So I encourage anybody out there, really, one of my favorite books in the world is The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, which kind of goes over the five main love languages, which, of course, are acts of service, gifts, words of acknowledgement, quality time. And of course, I'm missing one, physicality. It's funny. That's one of mine. And with that, it's really important to acknowledge there's actually, if you Google it online, you can actually test and find out what your personal love languages are. But it's also a good way, 'cause sometimes you'll be with a person and perhaps they give you flowers. And if gifts, you know, are not one of your love languages, they may be disappointed because you may not react the way they expect you to.
Just
the same as if you wrote somebody a love letter and words of acknowledgement may not be one of their love languages. They'll appreciate it and they'll respect you for it, but it won't impact as much, which is why it's really key to start sometimes with the languages. It's like, what is the style of communication? Just like for some people with dating, some people are texters like crazy. Other people I need to see you every day. And other people are, let's Skype, let's chat on the phone just because they want to see or they want to connect in that way, shape, or form. Uh-huh. And it's like what works. Pick the tools that work. Stick to those ones if you want to explore and play, because your partner has different ways of communicating, different tools to communicate. Play with them and acknowledge and appreciate and just trying to come up with something. Again, it comes down to the you and me equals the us, and how do we work in that us space and what's the most effective way. And it's going to evolve over time, because day by day as we continue to evolve, hopefully our style of communications, some of it's core, but there are also things that we're able to change.
Yeah, and I think regardless of the communication, of how you communicate, you know, as far as the form, I think it needs to be authentic.
Yes.
Right? And it comes down to, are you being authentic to yourself and to the relationship? Are you being honest? And you know, with yourself and with the other person, I think, and are you speaking with integrity? I don't know. Those things are really important to me.
No, I think they're very important in general. It's interesting you say that, because there is a book which may sound unusual in this conversation, but it's called The Ethical Slut. And it talks about, in terms of integrity, authenticity, and being really honest. So say you're in a stage of your life where you don't want to be in a monogamous relationship, being able to have those conversations and being really honest with people as to what you'd like to get out of their time, etc. and coming to the table with, this is what I got, this is what I'd like, and is this going to be a fit or not? And if it's not, that's okay. And just being able to move on so that people are able to honor each other, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's where people get so badly hurt and damaged, mm-hmm. because there's the dishonesty.
It's the dishonesty, and I think it's also fear, where it's fear of hurting someone else, fear of hurting ourselves. So sometimes we stay in something longer because we're afraid of hurting the other person, when in reality, if we really love them and move through life with compassion and love, that sometimes it's good to just cut ties and move forward in our lives. Other times, just knowing when it's good to work things through, so we can be like one of those couples who stay with somebody for 25 plus years, where it's there's going to be the good patches, the bad patches, as we continue to evolve and life happens.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to be
authentic—it's an interesting conversation, and I think it becomes more difficult as the years go forward.
I think it can be, because we get set in our ways.
Yeah, and I just think society as a whole, right? There's just, again, there's that disconnect, right? And so if there's a disconnect from yourself, then how can you possibly connect with someone else? If you're both disconnected from yourselves, then it's going to be difficult to disconnect or to connect as a couple.
Very much so. There are some tools, though, and it's interesting when we touch base about physicality with jogging, going full circle. A lot of the doctors and sex experts, for example, Dr. Ian Kerner, who wrote The Sex Detox and She Comes First, they encourage starting with a breath practice. So getting really in contact with your body, being able to be present. So whether or not it's meditation, so for there's a woman in town, Davy Ward, who's done some wonderful work, which I've had on the show, which she and her husband do authentic tantra workshops over just across the border. There's Tanya Diamond, who's the tantric teacher as well. And in Vancouver is a yoga town as well. So being able to just learning how to breathe. It starts with that much, just to breathe, get in your body, find out what works for you. So whether or not it is doing CrossFit, whether it is jogging, dancing, whatever it is that you need to do to get connected, is key to start with. The journaling is huge, just in general. It may not work for everybody, but it's a tool that I'd encourage people to explore.
Yeah, I think because you can see two things. I think with the journaling, you can see, your thoughts outside of your head. And I think that's really important, because sometimes they're just swimming around in your head. And once you can see them in front of you, you can gain a different perspective. And then you can also start to recognize patterns, because if you document your thoughts or whatever in your life, and it doesn't take long. I mean, I like journaling, so I can journal for a long time, but it doesn't have to take that much time. You can do it in point form, for that matter. But you write it down, and then you can come back and go, okay, look at that. I said the same thing and the same thing and the same thing, you know, for 4 months. What's going on, right?
That kind of is
where I was at 39, where, you know, I'm going back to my journals when I was 20 and I was talking about the same thing. And I went, okay, I'm not going to do that in my 40s. I will not do that. And so that was really powerful for me. Had I not had those journals, I wouldn't have remembered it. I wouldn't have seen it as well.
And it's nice, sometimes we need that to show ourselves.
Yeah, and plus my journals are page turners. I look back in them and go, I wonder what's going to happen to her next.
Well, yeah, people can be checking funny. In your blog as well, which is very key.
Yeah, the blog's been fun. It's been a fun tool, and just a fun way to, and a powerful way for me to sort of, share kind of, I don't know, what I sort of, my realizations that I've come through with the jogging and with my own journaling and writing, and, they end up sort of into my blogs.
which is very cool. So for people who are interested in getting involved, like, are you looking for volunteers for Jog for Joy, people to run, like, are you doing lunch and learns, for example, and going into corporations and doing talks, etc.?
Well, that would be fantastic. So if anyone wants to contact me for that, they certainly can. And yes, we're looking for volunteers. We'd love some volunteers. And we'll treat you like gold.
Hmm.
And hopefully you like hugs.
Supposed to get 12 a day.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yes to both, to all of that.
No, I think it's great. And I'm going to ask, I know I asked this question to you this afternoon when we had tea, but what in 10 years from now in regards to advocacy for mental and emotional well-being, what would you like to see in Vancouver in particular and possibly the world?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, like I had said earlier, the stats are that by 2020, it'll be the number two disability, depression, and depression will be the number one disability by 2030. So I would like to get those numbers down, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, this is just my opinion, but I really feel like there's a disconnect between the communities. So, and I feel like there's a disconnect with people that are struggling and suffering. And so, you know, for example, for myself, if I was to say, well, jogging is the only way, you have to jog. Well, that's wrong. That's not a correct answer, because that's one piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Exercise is one piece of the puzzle. You have to have, you know, exercise and good nutrition. You know, there's medications, there's, you know, so there's the medical aspect of it. There's counseling, you know, there's all these different, there's homeopaths, you know, and there's massage and chiropractors, and there's all this wealth of information and help and support. And I would like those communities to come together instead of being isolated. That would be my goal, is that they all come together and as a community, we have emotional and mental wellness. That would be amazing. And as an individual who's suffering or struggling, that you say, enough, my mental health is my priority.
Mm.
It's my priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people make their mental health a priority. I think, you know, we have, I don't know, it's interesting to me because it affects all other areas of your life. And yet it's something that we don't talk about and we try to just push through or ignore or, you know, or we're ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that affects everyone. It
yeah.
should be embraced and honored.
Mm-hmm. No, very much so. Very much so. Gabor Mate, who has done a lot of really wonderful work in the downtown east side, has several books. One that actually focuses in particular about just how our mental health actually affects our physical health as well, where we manifest things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done some wonderful, wonderful work just to back that up on that level as well for those who are curious, who are listening, who may be more science-based. And his stuff is a really good read as well. And in regards to people who want to get more involved with Jog for Joy or connect with Tina, Tina, what's the best, I would love for you to plug your website.
Oh, thank you. So the website's super easy. It's jogforjoy.com. So that's the event website. I have my personal website, which is the40by40.com. So it was the moment I changed my life. So the40by40.com with the numbers. And Jog for Joy is with the number. And, yeah, you can contact me at tina@jogforjoy.com. Or you can call me at 604-282-7336. I'll give you my number. Call me. I'm fine with that.
No, that's wonderful. Tina, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone.
On Saturday, September 8th, join Vancouver Corps.